Lord,
let's just sing it now and make it personal. I need you, Lord. Oh, I need you, Lord. He's here for you. I need you, Lord, right now. Whatever you may be facing, whatever you may be feeling, oh, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Oh, I lift my hands and bow my knees. Lord, I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Because He leads, we can face tomorrow. Aren't you thankful? Because He leads, all fear is gone, because I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Oh, let's just sing it now. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Is worth the living just because He lives. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening? Why don't you just turn around and shake your neighbor's hand and tell him it's good to see him, good to be here. I tell you what, I'm still feasting from the manna that was brought to us this morning. You know, the more we go along, you just sometimes wonder, how could it possibly get any better? And then you hear a message like that this morning. It's like being at a barbecue and just picking that meat fresh off the grill. Oh, it was just so wonderful. As I like to say, it really cranked my tractor this morning. Amen. Let's sing an old song that we used to sing years ago. I may have sung it here. If you don't know it, you can learn it. If it's in the database, the message of His coming. Let's try it in the key of B flat, brother. If it's wrong, we'll flat it. I grew up singing this song, and this just got, I thought it would just be really fitting to go along with what He brought to us this morning. Amen. How many's ever heard this song before? Do you know this song? Well, we got a few. All right, so you can just get loose, and we're going to join in, and we're just going to have us a wonderful time. We're looking for His coming in the clouds of heaven, coming back to earth to catch away His own. Then may we all be ready when midnight cry is given to go and reign with Christ on His throne. Oh, gladly may we herald the message of His blessed appearing. Soon He's coming in glory. Slumber when the end is nearing, but get ready for the final call. We're longing for the glory that awaits the faithful, who shall overcome and every conflict win. Press ever bravely onward, the
job is blessed appearing. Soon he's coming in glory. Tell to one and all. Then awake, ye saints of the Lord, while slumber when the end is nearing. But get ready for the final call. We're praying for the advent of our blessed Savior, who has promised life to all who trust his grace. Coming now is pending, the message being given, and soon we'll see our Lord face to face. Oh, gladly may we herald the message of his blessed appearing. Soon he's coming in glory, tell to one and all. Then awake, ye saints of the Lord, my slumber when the end is nearing. But get ready for the final call. Appearing of his blessed coming. Lo, behold, the fig leaves now becoming green. The gospel of his kingdom has gone to every nation. That we're near the end can be seen. Oh, gladly may we herald the message of his blessed appearing. Soon he's coming in glory, tell to one and all. Saints of the Lord, my slumber when the end is nearing. But get ready for that final call. One more time. Oh, gladly may we herald the message of his blessed appearing. Soon he's coming in glory, tell to one and all. Then awake, ye saints of the Lord, my slumber when the end is nearing. But get ready for that final call.
Well, you sung that like you've sung it before. Amen. Let's just, before we take the prayer request, let's sing the song, same key, How Great Thou Art. Amen. It's just one of my all-time favorites. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. This morning, but Maxine Dotson, this is Sister Becky's great aunt. We want to remember her. We want to continue to remember the McGarrys that's on their way back. The one that's not with us today is Brother Reynolds, or the Reynolds, I'm sorry. They're traveling. Also, Brother John Harwell is away this week working. We want to remember Brother Brian McCall, who's working today, and Brother Jaron was out on call. We want to continue to remember Sister Kim, is not feeling well. We want to remember Brother Fulcher as well. We want to continue to remember my wife, who's still really struggling with her back, and remember my mom, Sister Shirley. I also remember Sister Karen Buchanan as well. Sister Caitlin Florian was not here today and was not feeling well, so let's remember her. We want to remember the Pascals, who was having to work today as well, and Brother David Whitlock was working, so they weren't able to be here. It's good to see the Stevens here. We trust that little Macy's doing better. It's good to have you all with us. Continue to remember her. Also, continue to remember Sarah's dad and mom, the Shepherds. They need a touch from the Lord. Continue to remember Sister Carol Henley and Sister April Grant that was not able to be here this weekend. Also, Sister Sarah Vasaki was away. We want to remember her as well. It's good to have the McCafferty's back with us. Always missed when they're not here. And then we want to remember this this young man that Brother Barry had mentioned this morning in Tucson, from Sister Judy Arnold, having a brain tumor that was wrapped around the nerves behind one of his eyes, and has got to have that surgery. So we certainly want to remember that in prayer this morning. We know the Lord's got that under control, and He can guide that surgeon's hands. Really and truly, the Lord can take that away before the surgeon even has to touch it. That's what we could believe for, you know, and we could accept that, but we know that the Lord will be with that young man. I know there's many unspoken requests this evening. Amen. Brother Mark, would you come and take these requests before the Lord for us? Amen. And I mistakenly put them away in Arizona this morning, so it was quite a pleasant surprise when I looked back there and saw that they had made a very quick trip from the time I announced that till they got here. God bless you, Brother Mark.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, it's good to be back in your house this evening, Father. And Lord, as the shadows fall, Father, and remind us that as it was in the Garden of Eden, Lord, where you came down and you fellowship with your children. Lord, we pray that you'll do that this evening, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for being a good Father, as we heard this morning. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, of who we are and how much you love us, Father. And Lord, we will say the same, Lord, that we love you. You're our all in all, our life, our joy, our peace. And without you, Lord, there's no hope for us, Lord. It wouldn't be worth living without you, Father. But we're so glad we have a God that we can serve, that's, Lord, mindful of us, Lord, that came and died for us, Lord. And Father, that beyond we can think or comprehend how you love us, Father. We're just contented, Lord, that you said it, Father. And we just believe you, Lord, just because you said it. We pray, Lord, for these many requests, Lord, that was made, Lord, too many to remember. But, Lord, each name that was mentioned, Lord, each desire, every prayer request that was made, Lord, we pray that you'll hear them tonight, Father, and move on behalf of your children, Father. And we believe, Lord, that you will do that because you said in your word you will. And whatever you say, Lord, we just simply believe it, Lord, not trying to figure it out or understand it, but knowing that you never lie or can lie, Father, and whatever you say, that you will perform, Father. We pray, feed us again with your word, Lord Jesus, as we heard this morning. You're so good, Lord. Just a refreshing from your presence, and how we thank you for that, Father. We love you and appreciate you, Lord, and thank you for all that you are and that you've done for us, Father. We pray. We commit the service into your hand. Everything that's said and done, Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor. For, Lord, you're worthy of it. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Brother Mitchell's going to be giving us a song. I told Brother Marco a little bit ago, outside of and really enjoying what he had to bring this morning. There was something that I knew he was special right off the bat. He caught my ear as I was walking out, and he claimed to be, he said there was a German hillbilly. Well, I never knew that hillbilly was an international thing, and that really made me feel proud. So I said, well, when you live in a town that starts with Hick, you know what you got too. So But I'm just really looking forward to him, and I really enjoyed that. Also, real quickly, there are leftover cookies in the fellowship hall for everyone after the service. Please remember to come pick up any crock pots that were left in the fellowship hall. Truly my desire. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll have our ushers come at this time to receive the evening tithe and offering. Brother Tom, if you'd bless the offering. Amen. As Brother Barry comes, let's sing that song, Majesty.
Majesty, worship His majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. kingdom authority. Flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify and glorify Christ Jesus the King. Worship His Majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. So exalt, so exalt.
God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. It is good for us to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Just want to say this before we begin. We're not going to prolong things at all. I will send out an email because everyone wants it for the youth event next Saturday. All right? But here's what's on the email. 6 o'clock, fellowship hall. Bring your ugly sweater. We will have food. There'll be no gift exchange. See you there. We are glad to be here tonight. Good to have the Stevenses back. And for all of you that are here, good to have the McCafferty's here and each and every one. May the Lord bless you, Sister Tracy. God bless you. And it's just an honor to come back to the house of the Lord again. And we just so enjoyed the service this morning that I thought it would be good if Brother Marcus agreed that he would just come and take the service tonight. He doesn't come through very often. But he will, Lord willing. And it's just been an honor to finally catch up with him. And we've crossed paths all over the world, you know, like very close. And we have mutual friends, many mutual friends. We have many things in common. And it's just been a delight this weekend to spend a little bit of time with him. And I just love it when somebody comes and you don't know him from Adam. And he just, you know, comes and within a couple of minutes you realize this is going to be good. It's going to be good because of what's being said, primarily. But it's also good because there's a connection made in the spiritual realm between the congregation and the pulpit. And that's a wonderful thing to watch. It's a wonderful thing to minister in as well, that atmosphere when you have acceptance and there's no, you just have a common spirit. And that's just a wonderful thing. So we are honored to have him with us tonight. Let's sing that little chorus, I stand in awe of you, and we'll invite him to come tonight and just take the service right away. And may the Lord richly bless you tonight. I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you. Oh, I stand,
music is softly playing, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time together. It's like when friends came together, friends from eternity, Father. We thank you for the opening of the Word. We thank you for Calvary, Father. We thank you for Pentecost. We thank you for everything that you did in your plan, Father. We thank you for understanding who we are, where we come from, Father. We thank you for our message that came from the presence of Almighty, Father. And Lord, we understand we're not better than somebody else in this world, but it was the deep call us to the deep, Father. Lord, we are so thankful. We are so privileged people. And may this afternoon just use me as a vessel. And Father, may you especially strengthen those who have their weaknesses, who have their troubles some days, their ups and their downs. May you just encourage them to go forward. And Lord, we lay this ministry into your hands. Ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. And while we're staying, let's open the Word of the Lord in two portions of the Scriptures. And again, let us read in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2. At home, I'm always reading it so that we are on the same common ground, that we are not preaching our own ideas, but the wisdom of God manifested in our time. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Amen. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So the revealing will be unto our glory. And let us read in the Old Testament, in the second book of Kings, chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Kings 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, there was a great woman. Again, we're back in the type. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, she turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. I want to repeat verse 10. Let us make a little chamber. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. And again, thank you, Brother Barry, for this wonderful opportunity to stand before your people and the congregation, and it's my great pleasure. Tomorrow I'm leaving back to Germany, but it was a very special weekend for me, and it seems that God always keeps the best for the end, but it would be unfair to the other churches that I have been, but I was here for the first time and really feel myself at home. And we have a slogan in Germany which says, feel at home, but don't behave like this. You know? Don't put the feet on the table. So I'm always aware that I'm standing behind another man's pulpit. And I have a certain, with my fellow brothers, I have a certain respect for the message of the hour. Because the word comes to the prophet. You see, so therefore we quote the prophet. When I have a personal thought or a certain vision or a certain, let me say, understanding, I always say, look, this is now Brother Marcus. I can't be wrong in this. You see, so that the church always knows if I make a clear sentence, you can read it somewhere in the message itself. You know, but if I said, look, here's a certain picture, and Brother Branham doesn't give a direct quote, I said, look, this is now Brother Marcus, so that the church always knows now here's the difference between the best of Brother Marcus' understanding and the things that is revealed by the Lord. This is a kind of respect. And if you wouldn't mind, I will enter directly into the word of the Lord, because I want to really, don't want to use much time. Now, it's a tremendous thing of our Father. Our Father is a great personality. He's a great man. He is the author of the universe. Amen. And as I said this morning, please, this is not a teaching about the Godhead, things could be said, but our Father is our husband. Amen. And our Father is our bridegroom. and he's our friend. I think it's a tremendous thing when our children become our friends. Because we were just put into time. Our children could have been our parents. I mean, if you have little children, if you both have a car accident and you arrive on the other side in your theophany, you have the same age. Therefore, when Brother Benjamin came with that vision behind the curtain of time, he saw his little daughter and she said, "Hello, Daddy." And she had the same age like him. And she said, "This, on earth, I was your little Sharon Rose." So our children are our brothers and our sisters. They are just put into our care for a little span of life. Amen. So do the best to be the best brother and the best sister. Amen. To our children, we are just brothers and sisters. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that woman, again, it speaks of a woman. And when the prophet Elijah passed by that little city, Israel hated those people. They hated the prophets. You see? And it came even to the pass that when those little children made fun of the prophet Elijah, the brother Bram said it was not the mistake of these children, it was the mistake of the parents. Because what the parents said behind the curtains, the children said on the street. So I have a certain approach. Because the message is the message. And I believe the bride is called by the messenger. And by the message. I don't believe that there is any kind of a denominational bride. I cannot see it exactly so. But denominations will have their place somewhere. People will be saved, but not be bride. And I believe every person on this earth deserves a certain dignity, a certain respect. Because if somebody is born, he is born in the image of God. He has a soul. You see, even we have children that bring a lot of praise to our parents. And we have a lot of children that bring a lot of reproach to the family. But even the children that bring reproach are still our children. I spoke to a minister. He said, "Brother Marcus, I don't have 5 children. I have only 4. One is not serving the Lord." I said, "Brother, the child that does not serve the Lord has a soul and has feelings. And you will stand before God one day for that soul too. So let us have a feeling for the situation." And so therefore, respect, every person is demanded a certain respect. If you see a bump on the street, he might not have a lot of value in our eyes. But maybe he is the father of a little daughter. And for that little daughter, that's my father. And be sure it's the boy of a mother. And she thinks different about that man. And I believe Brother Brandon was a perfect example to show us respect to all kinds of people. And we had a brother in our church. For him, everybody was Jezebel. I mean, we don't expect the local community, the kindergarten, the school, to have a message standard. And we don't expect this, you know. But for him, everybody was Jezebel. The neighbors were Jezebel. The teachers were Jezebel. Everybody was Jezebel. And one day, the neighbor was standing at the door. It's a true story. And the child opens the door and says, "Papa, Jezebel is standing at the door." It was the picture that she always got. But Israel hated their prophet. And when Elijah passed by that city, that woman had a special insight because she could see this is a holy man. Now, Elijah didn't have a t-shirt by the name of Elijah. But God opened the heart for that woman to understand that this is a special man. So when she recognized this, it was a she. And you would see many, many times God speaks of widows and God speaks of orphans in a she form because he, the male, is the great king and she is the little insignificant woman that he marries. And what happens is, she said, "Let's make a little room for that man of God with a little candlestick." And you can now see the type in all the tabernacle and so forth, what is right portrayed right there. But she made a little room over there. And remember this, she did not invite just the man, but she invited God in her home. Brother Bram said about that widow woman when she invited the prophet in her home. She said it was not her bidding, it was God's bidding into her home. That Shunammite woman was a very wise woman. But I have a good news for you this afternoon. You are that Shunammite woman. Because Brother Branham was asked the question, Brother Branham, what is the reward of a prophet? And the prophet said, to be a friend of a prophet. Exactly. And then he says, remember the Shunammite woman. And then he says, this, it will become handy for you. So helpful, in other words. So that woman, she did not expect nothing. It was normal for her to just open her house for the man of God or for the messenger for her house. And she didn't say, look, we now come all these years to church and this, now where is now my reward? And it wasn't even the prophet saying, now Lord, we have to do some kind of a social work for that woman, because she always was so kind. But it was God remembering that woman. And God tells to his Holy Prophet, ask her what she wants, what she will. Now this remembers is, as Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever, about the story of Hattie Wright. Ask her what she will. Exactly. I always say this. Blessing is not a question of doctrine. Blessing is a question of attitude. You can be wrong, but if your heart is right with God, God will bring you on the right way. But you can be right in your doctrine, but if you have an arrogant spirit, Brother Branham said, God will not continue with you. Never let an arrogant spirit come among you. So that woman, she did the right thing. And there is so much examples of God remembering. God sometimes is in humor, You remember when in Memphis, when this plane, when it came down because of the storm, and the voice said to Brother Branham, just go the next morning. And he just went. You see, and Brother Branham says it in this word, he said, he calls it a Negro mama. I hope I find the right word, a Negro mama. And she was just hanging over the fence. And God is in humor. Because normally it was Brother Branham discerning the people. Your name is Eva. I saw you in a car accident. But this time, the woman was discerning the prophet. You remember? She said, hello, parson. And Brother Branham said, how do you know that I'm a prophet? That I'm a preacher? And that woman said, now you are the prophet Elijah, and I'm the Shunammite woman. It was not Brother Branham telling her who she was. It was now the woman telling Brother Branham who he is. And when Brother Branham entered into that home, he said you could feel it was a house of prayer. Amen. So the same God that opened the eyes to that woman in the Old Testament, the Shunammite woman, the great woman, is the same God who opened your eyes for the message of the hour. So you started already right. Why should we not continue right? Amen. We started right. It was not our calling. We weren't there and said, God, please send Brother Branham. Amen. Sometimes we were in some kind of like a denomination. We said everything is fine until God came our way. So it was not our desire to have a message. It was God's desire to speak to his children. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's just continue in the right way. God remembers. Do you know that time is nothing for God? Our Father is owner of time. Our Father is owner of the whole universe. I always say this, at home I'm a janitor. I have a good, let me say, education. I could make some kind of like a career, but I choose to be a janitor so that my head is free for mission work and to do, you know, so working as a janitor. But I'm always saying this. I have a rich father. Amen. Though I'm just a janitor, but I have a rich father. And you can say exactly the same. I remember there was one time, I think it was Brother Makonda in Tucson, and Brother Lonnie told that testimony, that Brother Branham came to Brother Makonda and said, and Brother Makonda said, hey, Brother Branham, he said to him, Brother Makonda, you are a blessed man. And he said, Brother Branham, I don't know exactly how it comes, but it's true. And then he told something to Brother Makonda, which is more of a value than gold. He said, Brother Makonda, God blesses you because you had a father and a mother who served the Lord all the days of her life. Now, look at this. We don't have much to inherit or to give to the next generation in form of houses and lands and whatever. But there's one thing that we can give to the next generation, that is the blessing of the Lord, of parents who serve the Lord. So if you want to do something for God, God will honor it. I mean, sometimes we say, Brother Marcus, I built a house for my boy and I made some kind of like a life insurance. I said, that's fine, but every unbeliever can do that. That is social support, which is fine. But the best thing to give to our children is the blessing of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Because God remembers. God does not forget the good things. God will forget our sins, but He will not forget. Therefore, and I hope I can say it that way, because we have different ideas sometimes in the message of the hour. Everyone who doesn't pay their tithings is not a bad brother or a bad sister. But he shows that he didn't understand God. Amen. Because he doesn't understand that God remembers every penny that you give. And God gives it back. He said, Brother Marcus, I never got a check from heaven. Now, the motor in your car that should be already finished. As God is the owner of all molecules and all atoms. God says to this motor, now you get 100,000 miles more. Because here is somebody faithful giving his tithings. God will pay you back. Be sure. Everybody who says, I have to economize money so we're not paying tithes. Say, brother, you are economizing at the wrong site. It shows you don't have revelation about our God. It's not that you're a bad brother or a bad sister, but you don't have revelation. Exactly. As I said this morning, how God loved that Esther was adorning herself with nothing else than just with the Holy Spirit. Every person in this message who dresses herself immorally shows that she doesn't have revelation. It's not that she's a bad sister, but either she is still in the kindergarten, but she does not really understand the plan of God. And he exactly the same things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So our life is a reflection of this. Now, to come back to that story, let me just give a little illustration about what that woman did and what God remembered, because she was building up a little room. If you can just show a picture. Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, that is Mount Olive in Jerusalem. Amen. And Brother Branham, he makes a drama, a story, and he calls that message, what is the attraction on the mountain? And Brother Branham describes how Jesus was there on that mountain on a white donkey. The Bible never says it, but I'm sure that the prophet saw it. Amen. On a white donkey. He said he was coming down that mountain on a white donkey. If you see the next picture. Now that was the view. Unfortunately, with the wrong building on it. It was not at that time there. It was the time of the temple. But that was the view from Mount Olives to Temple Mount. If you are on Mount Olive and you look to the Temple Mount, you look straight to the west. And if the doors were open at that time, you could see until the Holies of Holies right from Temple Mount. It goes straight to the west. Now, when Jesus came down that mountain, Brother Branham said, what happened? What was the attraction on the mountain? He said, prophecy was fulfilled and history was made. Say it in my own words. Amen. And he said there was a large group of people waiting for him to come down the mountain. He said most of them were against him. Some were in between. But some were for him. So while he was just riding down, and you have to understand those Israelites, those men are masculine men. You see? So they're not jumping for anything, but when they saw the Messiah coming down, they just put off their jackets, throw it on the floor, and scream fanatically, Hosanna, who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, We have to be so much in tune with the message of the hour that we're not just saying, oh, Brother Marcus, that was a nice preaching, or that was a deep preaching. We never thought that a German would understand this or something. That is fine, but it takes more than this. Amen. It's to understand we have a Father. And these people, they were not just sitting there and said, oh, Brother Marco, Brother so-and-so, that was deep. That was really deep. Now, the revelation of who came down the mountain brought a reaction on them. And I don't speak about charismatic things of standing in the chair, on the chairs and so forth, but they were putting off the jackets, throwed it on the floor and said, behold, our Hosanna, who comes in the name of the Lord. I hope for us that after all these years that the message of the hour is not boring. But that our enthusiasm becomes greater and greater. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is really my case. To see how my Father speaks to me. How this is more than just William Branham's ideas. Now as he is sitting on that white donkey, I ask you a question. Who was sitting on the donkey? The king or the lamb? Now it was both at the same time. Because when he was sitting there, scripture was fulfilled. Behold, O Israel, Jerusalem, thy king comes on the back of a donkey. Entering in, says my own words, I think it was Isaiah. But at the same time, it was the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world, sitting there. Therefore, I'm not entering into any kind of media discussions about this, about that, because sometimes we just have to stay away from these kind of discussions about this and about that. But what happened is when those people saw, when they understood what happened, they could bring that event on Mount Olives, they could bring it into the Bible. And they could now see of this great event, we are part of it. So it's not just a nice story. They could see, hey, I am in that picture. I mean, because when Isaiah spoke, he must have seen a vision. And he might have seen me standing there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So Brother Branham takes it up. That event. And he says this. He said, you in New York, you in Florida, this day, this scripture is fulfilled right before our eyes. Yeah. And what does he say? Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Can you say amen? Amen? Can you please make the next one, brother? Amen. And Brother Branham brings it to our time. He makes in that message the parallel between what happened there and what happens then. Amen. He said, oh, there will be a true former and latter rain in the last days upon that little group that come with him on this little donkey, low and humble, no or no denomination, crying, Hosanna to the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. What's the matter today? What's the attraction on the mountain? And you say, amen. Therefore, the bride does not wait for an eighth messenger. Therefore, the bride is not waiting for the man of the hour. Therefore, the bride is not waiting for a new move in the message, because the bride has seen what happened on Sunset Mountain. Amen. She's not waiting for nobody else. She knows one thing. This is now time for uniting. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Brother Branham, he brings it as a parallel. And you please make the next one, brother. Amen. And we have seen this so often. The picture in Life magazine. Hallelujah. Those seven angels. Brother Brian, he himself did not understand what it means. But around a year later, God tells to him, turn it to the right. And what does he see? Hoffman's head of Christ. The head coming to the church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The picture was taken on the 28th. Brother Branham says, that's the circle of life for a woman. 28 days. Hallelujah. And the magazine was the 17th of May, 1963. And the prophet said that was the day when Noah entered into the ark. According to the Bible, the 17th day of the second month. And that is according to the Jewish calendar, is May 17. Because the calendar starts between March and April. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, there was a coming in that time. It's a special age that we live in. And I hope I can say that. I'm sure that you see it the same way. That we're still living in Laodicea. Yeah. But the bride spiritually is more than just in Laodicea. It's a bride age. Laodicea. Though we still live in Laodicea. Absolutely so. There's no eighth age. But there's a headstone coming upon that bride. Blessed be the name of. Or let me say in a spiritual bridegroom. But we're still living in Laodicea. We're not left Laodicea. I mean, I'm happy if not our brother Trump would be the head for the millennial, whatever. We're still in that time. But it's a special, there was a changing of dispensation by Revelation 10. Because a person came, Christ himself. To miss it means to miss the message. Because look at this. That when Brother Ben makes a parallel, when those three young wise men were in Babylon, they saw the star. And the star was leading them. Now the three wise men didn't say, oh wow, look, there's a star. That's not tremendous. No, let's make some photos and we put them on the wall. Now that tremendous star event. But that star led them. And it led them to the king. Can you say amen? And the young people could say, look, we don't understand much, but we have seen his star. And there were three young men, and maybe they had every evening a little family altar among three. And the preaching was always going into some kind like a circle. Everyone was preaching. But they had only one subject. They didn't have a big variety of preachings. The sermon title was always the same. We have seen his star. So next evening, Thursday evening, one of the brothers stands up. Look, gentlemen, I have a topic on my heart. And they said, yes, sir. He said, look, we have seen his star. And they were standing up and said, praise the Lord. We're not arrived yet, but we have seen already the star. And what they did, they were just following the star. And the star did not lead them to him, but he led them to the king. Amen. And we can say, and you can say, we have seen the star. The seventh star in the hand of God. We have seen the messenger for our age. The star, and the messenger did not bring us to himself. Or to Branham Tabernacle. It brought us to the king. Which is the word itself. Amen. Therefore in the ministry of Brother Branham, he was the Eliezer ministry. And people are good people. But sometimes afraid there's too much people that want to marry Eliezer. Instead of marrying Isaac, the Word. Amen. So only Eliezer brings us to Isaac. But you will not marry Eliezer. Because when the bride sees Isaac, the king, the Word, Eliezer goes his way. His mission is over. And he will not come back. Because he is here. Can you say amen? Blessed be. Therefore, it's a tremendous age. To miss the coming of Christ is to miss the message. You just have God send a prophet, not more. And you have to live a life in nostalgia. Nostalgia? Amen. You have a nostalgia. If Brother Branham would be here, if Martin Luther would be here, but we can say a greater than Brother Branham is here. It's a time like never before. It's a tremendous revival going forth. Now, when... Next one, please. Now, when the prophet came, as I said this morning, as Paul was not in the upper room, Brother Branham was not in Pentecost. Both came later. And when Brother Branham came up in his ministry, remember, all the great healings and miracles was just to get the attention of the people. It's like you want to hold a speech and so that people get quiet. But we see that denominations were not interested so much in the message, but they were interested in the healing that the prophet could do. It's like when Eliezer came into the house of Laban. Now Rebekah got some gifts and some money. But the Bible says everybody got some gifts and some money. So mama got some gifts, papa got some gifts, uncle, everybody got some gifts. And everybody was happy with the gifts and with the money, but Rebecca wanted to have the husband. The bridegroom. Can you say amen? Therefore we, in our church here in Hickory, we are certainly not the biggest church in town. We don't have the best singers in town. We don't have Jimmy Swaggart. Sing it again, sisters. We don't have the most miracles in this message. The charismatic movement certainly has more miracles than us. Amen. We don't have the best, let me say, all of us, all of all. And you can say, Brother Marcus, you don't have the best singers and not the best preaching and not the best this. And what do you have? And we can say, we have thus saith the Lord. And Rebecca was interested. The gift was fine. The money was fine. But she says, I want to have Isaac. And that makes you a bride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when the prophet came, he was like David. So when David slew Goliath, all the Bible says all Israel now became had faith. And they were now fighting. So when the minister of Brother Branham came, other ministers thought, what he can do, I can do the same. So here comes T.L. Osborne and all these great men. And they had sometimes maybe more success in the healing ministry than William Branham. But one thing is sure, they had no message. They had no message. They should have stayed under the messenger. But they didn't see the message and the messenger for their day. Amen. Exactly so. So when God saw this, church became for the denominational world, let me say it in my own words, an entertainment program. And the sincerity of that thing went away. So they just wanted to be blessed and want to be healed and want to live like they wanted to do. And God says, look, I'm not interested in that. We had it over seven church ages. I want a bride who matches up with me. Can you say amen? So, Brother Branham is still 1965, and brother, sister, I've been back in the cave long enough, and you have too, to know that there has been a lot of earthquakes shaking around, a lot of noises and fusses and stews and things like that, and big meetings. But where has been God out of it? That's the reason I said what I did this morning. There has to come something deeper than a healing service. There has to come something deeper than a gift to speak with tongues. There has to be something deeper than a rushing mighty wind. All these things are good and all these things are fine. But none of these things brought rapturing faith. And none of these things brought a marriage with Christ. So God had to bring something deeper. Exactly so. So we come then in the time, you make please the next one, that Brother Branham has three visions. Or he has three stages of a vision, which we would later know the tenth vision. And the first two parts of that vision, we know Brother Branham was that kind of a swimming of the baby shoe. And let me say the fishing rod. And Brother Branham said it was the first and the second pool. Exactly. So, and in the third part of that vision, it says like this. And just then he picked me up and took me up and set me way up high to where a meeting was going on, looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort. And I looked and there was a little box like, little place over in the side. And I seen the light was talking to somebody above me. That light that you see there in the picture. It whirled away from me like that and went over to that tent and said, I will meet you there. And said, this will be the third pool and you won't tell nobody. And in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pool. 1956, why are the people so tossed about? This will be the third pool. Sabino Canyon, this is the third pool. So when the first and the second visions symbolically were. Now, according to the best of my understanding, the third part of that vision is symbolically too. Amen. But we must know it because God says to his prophet, I will meet you there. Amen. And to know that meeting place is a good thing for the bride. Because if you want to meet somebody, you should know the time and you should know the place where to meet. If not, you are just in the message. And that is not enough. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, the question is for all of you, when Brother Branham had that vision of the tent, where is the tent? Because I want to be honest, if the tent is in the U.S., let me move to the U.S. And if the tent is in Germany, I want to say you this, you're in trouble. Because if you are too poor to pay a plane ticket, you will not come to the tent. Amen. Blessed be the name. So there must, according to my understanding, a spiritual signification. Amen. Therefore, I said in the beginning, look, this is my understanding. If it would be wrong, it's nothing, it's no damage. At least we have to sensibilize ourselves to that point. Because too much people in the message just miss it and think it's deep things. It's not deep things, because we have a simple Father. Amen. Just make the next one. Thank you, sir. Now, my question in the Bible is this. Who had the first tent vision? And that was Moses. Because Moses was taken up into glory and he saw the temple of God. And God told him, when you come down, you build it exactly to the image that you have seen in heaven. And what was he building? The tabernacle in the wilderness. Moses even could see the, let me call it the system, because I don't know, the order of the tribes around the temple. He could set them positionally right because he saw the eternal vision. Amen. Even when there were problems with two tribes, Moses could just place them positionally because he had an eternal vision of what God had in mind. So God says, now you come down and you make that thing exactly according to the vision that you have seen. And he's building the temple in the tabernacle in the wilderness. And later Solomon takes the same picture and builds the temple in Jerusalem. And Brother Branham explains that the ark and the temple represent our body, the human being. Very, very clear in the message, why are the people so tossed about? And he says, the outer court is our body, the sanctuary is our spirit, and the holies of holies is our soul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So we have a picture, biblical picture, of a tent. And what is a tent? It's a person. It's man, mankind. Hallelujah. Now, nothing in the universe is made in the image of God. Amen. Only human beings. Blessed be. So you have a big value to go. Amen. That you have. Now make the next one, please. Now we live, and this is maybe not the answer, the full answer, but we live in a tent. Amen. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A tabernacle is a tent. Jesus was the tent of God with men. Amen. So I want to say you one thing. Now, I'm a very sympathetic person. You wouldn't believe. If you would know me, you would love me. But my problem is I live in a German tent for 70, 80 years. But when this tent is dissolved, I will go into my true body. Amen. Therefore, Brother Abraham said, you have never seen me yet. We live in a borrowed body with a borrowed spirit. And you have the slogan in America that sometimes we stand in our own way. And that happens to us. Hallelujah. So for me, even if my answer would be wrong, but instead of looking for somebody now building a tent, what they are doing in South America, they want to fulfill Brother Ben's vision, and they are now building a big tent. For me, it's a waste of money, it's a waste of time, because when the first two visions were symbolic, then I believe the third is a symbolic too. Amen. Hallelujah. But we live in a tent. Amen. Next one, please. Therefore, David says in Psalm 27, he said, the Lord is my light. And remember what Brother Brandon preaches, the rapture. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. So there is a hiding place. It is his tabernacle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you, look, you have only a couple of days still to live. He said, okay, on this earth, but I have a tabernacle. It's already there. It's already waiting for me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm just on my pilgrimage here on this earth. Therefore, in Genesis, and Isaac brought her unto his mother, and to his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So when Rebekah and Isaac met, and Brother Abraham said, in the evening time, amen. Where did he go directly? In the tent of her mother. Amen. Where was Sarah when Elohim came down? Amen. And he was just revealing the secrets. Amen. She was in the tent right behind him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So there is quite a possibility when God says, I will meet you there, that we don't have to travel. Amen. To here. Brother Branham, where will be the rapture? In Tucson or in Jeffersonville? Amen. In Christ. Can you say amen? So the question is now, where, to which convention should I go to get rapturing faith? Which prayer line gives me rapturing faith? Amen. I want to say this. Everything that you need is right in you. Amen. And it will be quickened by the sun, by the light, by the word of the hour. Can you say amen? A brother said to me, Brother Marcus, we have to go back to Pentecost. I said, no, not a problem at all. But I said, then we have to do it according to Pentecost. First, there's no music, because there was no music on Pentecost. Second, we don't make an altar call, because there was no altar call on the day of Pentecost. Third, we don't make any kind of laying on of hands, because there was no laying on hands on the day of Pentecost. If you want to go back, let's go back, but you will see it will be different. Amen. Everything has its place, everything is fine, but don't make a scheme, or don't make a formula how it has to work. When Peter was preaching in the house of Cornelius, and the Holy Ghost fell. Do you think that Peter came back the next year and said, brothers, last year it was so tremendous, so let's do that same thing again. They would have said, look, Peter, we are born again. We don't have to do that same thing over and over every year. I mean, let's grow. We are born, okay? But let's come out of the baby childhood. Let's grow a little bit. Amen. So everything is right. But if you're bringing to people to a repentance every year, so that they question themselves every year, amen, then the question is, this was not very productive for the growth of that person. Therefore, we have to learn as ministers that our success is not how much people were at the altar. That's not a success for a minister. Because you can break people over and over and over, and you can call them so often to the altar that it becomes a Catholic tradition for them. Amen. And I can preach, I can say, you don't pray enough, you don't read enough, you don't do this enough, and it's always right. But what is our message? I have a Father. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you say amen? So surely, if this is the answer, is another thing. If the answer was wrong, no problem at all. But I want to sensibilize. The tent vision is something important. But one thing is sure, God wants to meet you. On which prayer line? What about going into your closet and taking God? What about meeting God in the Word? Instead of thinking I have to travel here and I have to travel there. What about this? What about my Father, and I'm closing the door and I speak with my Father about these things? Can you say amen? What about the meeting place, not here, but the meeting place in my heart? Amen. Amen. Can you say amen? Do we understand that the message of the hour is not a question of a Bible school, of a message Bible school? It's a love of letters between my Father and me. Amen. And my husband, my bridegroom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that woman, she was wise, because she was preparing a little room for the messenger. A little room. A little compartment Brother Brand said it doesn't have to be a literal cave in that we go. But he said God wants to have a little cave in our soul. That's what he says. Where he can come in and out and make inventory. Do you know that your Father wants to walk with you? Do you know that your Father wants to live with you? Do you know that God says to Brother Branham, I want to walk with you? Amen. And the prophet said, it's my greatest privilege. So God wants us to have time for one another. I was a young boy, and I didn't understand much of the message. Still today, but we're learning with the time. And I was reading about the story of in Bethlehem when there was no place in the hotels, in Bethlehem. And when Mary and Joseph had to go into that kind of a cave, it was not a creche, it was some kind of like a cave according to Jewish tradition. And I said this, I was a young boy, I said, Lord, in this Laodicea when nobody else has time for you, let me have time for you. Let my heart be your birthplace. Let my heart be your meeting place. Let my hands be useful for your ministry. Let my mouth be useful. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Is this our prayer? That we say, let the word be born, where? In the manger of my heart. Amen. Where does it? Do you think that you have to invite special Superman to get something from God? If your heart is right, you can get it every Sunday, every Wednesday. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we have the imagination, we have to invite Superman. He comes in with a sharp ass, and he makes a super preaching, and he says, and he just goes. But then you have to wait until Superman comes back. Amen. That is not the right thing. If your heart is right, because you know God can use whoever he wants. I will meet you there. That means he comes down. Amen. And meets us in our needs. Hallelujah. So, let me finish by this. Amen. I'm best in time. Hallelujah. As I'm a disciplined German about time and all these things. Again, this is my thought about it. If it was wrong, it was just to sensibilize. I don't believe it is a literal tent. I believe it has a symbolic meaning. Whatever it has. Amen. And as I always say, it's not the complete picture, but just take the inspiration of, if you say, Brother Mark, it was wrong, then just grab deeper than me and let me learn from you, okay? But by this, we are going forward. Amen. Now, that boy that the Shunammite woman got sick and died. Amen. And the Shunammite woman, she was a wise woman. She knew one thing. God gave me that boy. I hope that we understand that God gave us our children. They are more than just Papa and Mama. You understand? You say they are just Papa and Mama. They are not Papa and Mama. It was God brought the breath of life into them. And Brother Bram said, God gives us always the best. So God chose for our children the best family. And you were the best family for them. Even if they are somewhere else today not serving the Lord, don't forget them. Because God gave them to you. Because he knew that you would hold them up in the presence of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Marcus, you see, they bring so much reproach upon Hickory Tabernacle, about my family. I want to say you one thing. I was not a believer. And I lived in the world completely. But I'm sure my Heavenly Father was never ashamed of me. He said, now, this is Marcus, and he lives like a pig, but let the word of the Lord come to him once. Let him once hear my voice, and he will change. That was my changing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My father was always, he was never ashamed of me. Amen. I made this little experience. My little daughter, I came to the kindergarten, you know, and sometimes the little children are a little bit embarrassed about their parents. They said, you can bring me to school, but please leave me a block earlier from school. So it's not only in Germany, it's in America the same thing. But I was so touched, and I went to the kindergarten, and all the children were sitting. And I see how my little girl, she stood up and says, hey, Papa, in front of all of them. And I said, I had purpose in my heart, I will never be ashamed of her. No matter if she brings reproach, no matter what happens, she will always be my daughter. I will not be I will not agree in her ways, though she's completely serving the Lord. But if she would have not take another direction, I would not agree in her ways, but she will always be my daughter. Because she stood for me, I stand for her. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when the boy died, the woman laid him exactly in the same room that she prepared for the prophet Elijah. Brother, sister, it matters to serve the Lord. Amen. Brother Abraham said, the same camels that Rebecca was watering was the same camels bringing her to Isaac. It matters to pray. It matters to read. It matters to eat the book, because this will be the energy bringing you to Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when she went up upon the mountain, and she was just, his servant was just asking, is all is well? She said, all is well, though the child was dead. But when she came to the prophet, she explained what happened. So Elijah thought a little gift will make it. And he sends his servant with his staff, knowing whatever is touched by a holy man will be blessed. And the servant lays his staff upon the dead boy. And brother, we love the gifts. I personally have a gift, but no gift will give you eternal life. You never major on a minor. A gift is wonderful, but a gift will never give you the Holy Ghost. Will never give you rapturing faith. It will be a victory. Amen. So he laid the gift, and I can imagine, and nothing happened. So he went back to his master and portrayed this now to Christ and the bride. This is now my picture. So Elijah found out a gift is fine, but a gift will not bring life to a dead body. So Elijah knew one thing, I have to come down myself. Same picture all the time. When it deals of life and death, God doesn't send just something. He has to come down himself. And he just goes by, and the boy lays in the room, in that little room that was prepared for him, for the prophet Elijah. And Elijah came and closed the door. So you understand that Elijah was not Benny Hinn and not Jimmy Swaggart. It was not in the name and I turn. It was a quiet meeting. But God was there. And Brother Bram said, the sun picks up millions of gallons of water every second or every morning, and there's no noise. No noise. God does now great things without making a platform demonstration. That time is, I have to invite brother so-and-so, and he can really work us up. That time is over. We understand that's fine, that's blessed meeting, but it was a waste of time. Amen. That was just blessed, but every denomination can make that kind of blessing too. Invite the son, which is the word for that age. Blessed. So what he just does, he was laying himself upon the boy. Amen. And here his brothers, maybe they were at the door and said, it's extremely quiet inside. It's extremely quiet. I'm inside that little room. He said, what are you doing? I don't hear any noise. And I can hear the prophet Elijah say, you cannot teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. So he laid himself upon him. And look, when that picture of the cloud came, it just showed the head. If you see my passport, you want to see Marcus Becker, you just see the head. And Brother Branham explains, we had the mouth age that was Azusa Street, speaking in tongues. We had the eye age, God sent the prophet, William Branham. Now, does it finish your head with the eyes? No, sir. He said, the last part is the intelligence himself. Come. And the greatest work is done without any noise right in the brain. Can you say amen? So he was just laying himself upon the boy. Amen. And the boy came back to life. Is that what God is doing right now with his church? Amen. And we said we have to invite this, we have to do this, we have to pay attention to our young people. If we don't make that program and that program, amen, bring them just into the light of the Lord. Amen. God will find his seat. We don't have to help God. God is in full control. Can you say amen? If the musicians would come, and I'm 5 minutes ahead of my time. Isn't that tremendous? Hallelujah. Now, just to finish by that picture, if we have the song, I had it in my mind. I said, I would love to sing the song, How Great Thou Art. Maybe we can sing that again. I know you sang it in before. Amen. Amen. Always the same picture. Amen. As I said to you, if there was a picture that would say, I see a little bit different, it's not a problem, but just to sensibilize, we have more than ever before. Don't expect a new Pentecostal revival to come up. That time is over. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Oh Lord, my God, what a Father we have. Oh Lord, my God, when I see why. For the water. Hallelujah. Can you say amen about our Father? Amen. Just to round up that picture, Brother Branham speaks about testimony on the sea. And the Bible is so clear that when they came from that great revival of 5,000 people, they were fed. Those people, they had tremendous testimonies how Jesus can multiply the bread. But then the Bible says his disciples went on the sea, and the Bible says he went up on a mountain. Always the same picture. And when the sea came, and those people, the Israelites, they were just speaking about the bread and the bread, and the disciples had a testimony on the sea, and Brother Branham said, and Satan came to drown that ship. And it was in the middle of the night, and let me say it in my words, in pure Laodicea, in darkness. Amen. And when the ship was ready to drown, Brother Branham said, he came down the mountain. Amen. And Brother Branham said this, Jesus had them in his mind, in his sight, all the time, watching them. What a father we have. Amen. Therefore, don't be intimidated by Google News. In all respect, what Mr. Trump does, what the Pope does, that's fine. But I want to see what my father does. Can you say amen? What a mighty God. When in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. And he will set me upon a rock. That's the revelation for the time. How can we leave the message? There's no way, no way around. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if we sing the song, it was my honor to share these thoughts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As the deer enters the water, so my soul longs.
Thank you.
Anybody need prayer tonight? I'm sure Brother Marcus would be glad to pray with you tonight. Anything you want to give? Presence will be like for an eternity, because it'll just roll on and roll on and roll on, and we'll not have to imagine it anymore. You'll not have to try to think what it will be like and how you'll feel, and all of that will just be real. It'll just come to pass. But I thank God that He gives us little moments in His presence, and it seems to call us. You know, there's a calling. Whenever you get into His presence, it's almost like He's just calling you to come closer and to draw near to Him. And in times like that, the only thing you really want, I don't want to have to go to work tomorrow. I don't want to have to do my chores tomorrow. I don't want to have to, a whole lot of things I'll let go. But it'd just be nice to be in His presence. Just nice to stay. Keep it like this, to lock it in and just keep it like this. That's what eternity is going to be like. That's what eternity is going to feel like. And it's just in His presence something good happens. It's good for us to be in the house of the Lord today. God spoke to us, I believe, in a special way. And I'm thankful that I was able to be here. And I hope that every one of us are able to take something away today that resides with them and just helps them to become better people, and better and stronger. In the all
my questions become clear. For that special moment, no doubts can enter there. In the are mended in the presence of the King. How about this? Through His love, the Lord a place for us to rest. It's a place to find the answer in the hour of distress. And now there's never any Father, we just want to take a moment at the very end of our day, the setting of the sun, just to say, Lord, we thank You for this day we've had in Your presence. And Lord, I just can't get that image of that father who struggled with cancer and walked his daughter down the aisle a long time before she ever was ready to be married, so He could give her away, so He could perform His earthly duty, and to be nothing left undone. And Lord, just to think that if a natural earthly father could have such compassion and care for his daughter, to do that earthly act in such a gentle and compassionate way, Lord, how much more You are Heavenly Father, who has all power and all ability to be able to turn things and move things and allow all things to work for good to them that love You. We thank You for that kind of a Father. We thank You, Lord, for being that kind of a great one among us. Because, Lord, You even condescend to care about everything we go through. And Lord, now I pray for this assembly and, Lord, the many, many needs that are represented among us. And oftentimes we summarize them in little one lines. But Lord, behind every request, there are sincere and genuine prayers, genuine lives that are hurting, and people with needs, and so we commit them to you. And Lord, we've been asked to pray for this Lucas Peterson, who's undergoing surgery Tuesday morning. And Lord, I don't know what's going through his mind now, just a young man, and faces an extremely complicated and dangerous operation. We have no idea who he physically is. But we believe, Lord, that our prayers, we believe they're heard in heaven. And Lord, you can show mercy on behalf of that young man, his family. Because, Lord, we know that would be a premature loss of life if something happened, Lord. And we know, Lord Jesus, that that's not your will. So we claim him tonight. We ask for mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray that you would guide the hands of the doctors, Lord, if that's the way it goes. And, Lord, I just pray that you would just take him under your control. And just like you directed that stone with the address to Goliath's forehead, Lord, you're able to guide the hands of a surgeon and fulfill your will in his life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what we heard today, and I pray that you would bless Brother Marcus. And Lord, I pray that you would guide him safely home, restore his strength, bring him back to his family and his assembly. Lord, we remember all of our families tonight, and just want to say, Lord, that we just look forward to the day when we never have to part, never have to separate. And Lord, you be the one that binds the broken hearts tonight, touches individuals. Because Lord, sometimes our expectations are not always met. But Lord, your way is always best. And so we commit every single soul into your hands tonight. Dismiss us only with your blessing. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you tonight as you go. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lead me, Lord.